Welcome to the Beeson Podcast, coming to you from Beeson Divinity School on the campus of Samford University. Now your host, Doug Sweeney.
Welcome to the Beeson Podcast. I'm your host, Doug Sweeney, and I'm joined today by Dr. Cecilia Walker, our 2024 Beeson Alumna of the Year. Dr. Walker serves as Executive Director of Chaplaincy and Clinical Pastoral Education for Brookwood Baptist Health. She is a friend, she's an alumna, she's a trustee now at Samford University. We get to see her a lot, and we're really grateful to you, Cecilia, for being with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I want to make sure we introduce you really well to all our listeners, some of whom probably know you already, but some of whom don't. So can we start by just asking you, tell us a little bit about your childhood and how you came to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus in the first place.
Okay. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm a fourth-generation Baptist.
Wow.
My grandfathers on both sides were Baptist ministers, and all of my uncles were Baptist ministers.
Wow.
When I was growing up, I would sit at my grandfather's feet, and he would read the Bible while all my siblings would be doing whatever they were doing. I just loved to hear him tell me stories from the Bible, and he would read to me. And it's interesting that I remember that so well because I was 5 years old when he died. But I do remember him saying to me, "Cece, you're going to do great things for God." And in a little girl's mind, what is doing great things for God? But then I started noticing my grandmothers, especially how they would set up for mission meetings and how instrumental they were to them and their ministries at the church. And I thought growing up that I couldn't be a minister, so I would be a pastor's wife. And so that was really something that I was really moved by because it was so involved in the life of the church, so active, and our home was always filled with opportunities of service. And that's, you know, really how I started, just looking at them. And both of my grandmothers were just wonderful Christian women, but then also the women in the neighborhood. Even as a little girl, I would just go visiting these people who had to be like 60 years old or something. And I would spend the day at their houses talking to them about their lives, talking to them about God. And so when I was 9 years old, I went forward at church to dedicate my life. And I remember talking to my grandmother the night before, telling her that I wanted to be a Christian. And she just sort of cuddled me in her arms, and she talked to me about that being the most important decision that I will ever make in my life. And then she sang the song to me, "Lord, I want to be a Christian." And it was just such a special moment. And the next day I went forward and confess Christ in front of our church. We were having our first night of revival that night. And so it was just a wonderful experience for me. And I've always been active in church, playing and trying to play instruments in the church, in the Sunbeam Band, in Sunday school, BTU. If it, the church was open, I wanted to be there and participating. And just loving God. I would just spend hours literally reading the Bible. And when I was about 10 or 11, I started the practice of reading the Bible throughout every year, just reading the whole Bible.
That's impressive for a kid that age.
Yeah, just totally. And I know my family, my siblings probably thought it was a little weird. I would climb in this tree that's in the front yard, and it has like arms, it's still there. And I would just cuddle up in the tree and read, just read the Bible especially. So
the time when you went forward in church, was that one of your grandfather's churches or was that a different church?
It was at my grandfather's church. He was no longer the pastor there, but he, because he had, he was deceased by that time. But that's the church I went forward.
Marvelous. All right, so how do you get from being a spiritually precocious young person to Beeson Divinity School, to thinking maybe chaplaincy ministries for you? I think I know from hearing your story before in another context that for a while you were a librarian. How did chaplaincy become a reality for you?
Well, I had been at the library, working at the library for, I worked there for 18 years, 1 year at the Central Library downtown, and then at Avondale Library for 17 years. And I was, that was really an exciting thing for me because I used to also go to the library and sit in the stacks and read all day, and they would, at the end of the day, they'd be saying, "CC, are you in the stacks?" And
Gotta kick you out.
they had to kick me out. And so I thought that was just what I would do, but I was praying for people. People would come to the library and they would ask me to pray for them, and so I would take them into the auditorium and have prayer. And I had this really strong urge that there was more for me to do for God, but I had no idea of how to make that happen. And but I just felt strongly that God was calling me into ministry. So my husband Jeffrey had died. My father also had died a couple of years before that. And I was, just really leaning on my faith during that time. And I felt God calling me to ministry and that he wanted me trained. And I didn't know where to start, but I knew of Beeson. So I said, "Well, I'll go over and talk. It's not going to happen. They're not going to accept me." Just thinking all kinds of thoughts. Didn't know anything really about the process. And I came over, and the person who did my interview, the first thing he did was pray with me. And I was like, "Oh my goodness." A school where they pray, having gone to Ohio State, gone to Birmingham Southern, nobody had ever prayed for me in an interview to go to school. And so I filled out the application, got accepted. Then I said, "But Beeson only has classes during the day. There's no weekend, there's no night, and I work full time." And I was in a troubled marriage, and so I was really the sole provider for my children. And I was like, "There is no way that they're gonna let me go to Beeson during the day." But I went in and I asked my director if I could go to Beeson during the day. And at that time, the library was open until 9 o'clock at night every night, Monday through Thursday, open on the weekends. And I said, "I'll work every night and every weekend if you'll let me do that." And my mom would keep my kids. And so she's without hesitation, she said yes. And I said, "God is just opening these doors, opening these doors." And that's how I got to Beeson, just feeling God calling me to be educated and trained and coming in here and God making it happen for me.
When you started at Beeson, were you already thinking maybe chaplaincy ministry? You'd had deaths of close relatives and maybe had a significant time with chaplains in the hospital, that kind of thing? Or you just had no idea at that point where the Lord was leading you?
Had no idea. And one of my brothers, and we're all, my family is really close, but he is very stoic. He's served in the army. He cried. He sat down and cried. He said, "You're right where you want to be, tracking to become the director of Birmingham Public Library System." He said, "Why? What
Oh,
are
he
you?"
cried because he
Yeah,
was
because he
upset.
is. He said, "Why are you doing this?"
Yes.
He said, "You're a Baptist, a Baptist woman. What are you going to do?" And I said, "I know this is God's voice. I just know that this is what I'm supposed to do." And so Dean George asked the question every year. "Why are you here? Where does God?" And I would say, "I don't know, but I know God's voice." And but toward the end, I'm like, "Now I need to gain full employment. I need to do something." And I started thinking about the day that my father died, and he died at a local hospital here, and it was mishandled in every way.
Oh,
It was
no.
horrific, and my mom and I were traumatized by the way it was handled. And my husband died 2 years later at St. Vincent's. And a chaplain came, and he asked me, "Did I want to see Jeffrey?" And I said, "No." And remembering what I had experienced before, and he said, "Well, I think that it would really be good and good closure for you. I'll be with you." And my mom was there, and both of us went back, and it was like Jeffrey was sleeping, and the chaplain was just present, and prayed with us, and just really helped us through such a horrific time. Unexpected time. And so at the end of my time at Beeson, I started thinking, "Well, maybe I should call that chaplain and find out how you become a chaplain." Because people were always coming to the library asking me to pray for them. It's been my life that I've always been offering support to people. And he explained about getting CPE and the whole process. And so I applied for my first unit.                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                        └².².================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ And it was not easy. When I got into it, I remember crying one day, the first day that I presented my verbatim, my first verbatim. I cried from like 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 9 o'clock at night.
Ooh. And just for the listeners, what's a verbatim?
A verbatim is like a case study or an explanation, or when you go and visit someone, the patient said this, the chaplain said that.
Yeah.
And I cried because it just touched deep places of grief in me. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I needed to get out of this. I said, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking to one of my friends, and she said, that's exactly why you need to stay, because you care enough. Because I wasn't crying as much for me as for what the patient was going through. And she said, they need people who will be an advocate, and they need people who will care. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed and got the bug after that unit, and yeah.
So how do you, I'm thinking about some listeners to this podcast who may be wondering, is chaplaincy something maybe that could be for me? Mm. I don't know. I guess if I were your friend way back then and I knew all about you love to shut the library down, mm-hmm. reading books and that kind of thing, bookworms aren't always also people with good bedside manner, right? I mean, right. In your case, obviously, it's you're both. But how do you, if you're trying to figure out, is chaplaincy a viable option for me? Might the Lord have gifted me for this? Is he moving me in this direction? What should that discernment process go like in your view?
I think, first of all, just having extreme compassion. Hmm. I mean, for me, I've always been super compassionate, always wanting to support, and just open to people in general. Like I said, I would hang out with the senior women in the community when other kids, they were, you know, done with it. They didn't have anything to say. A person who's drawn to a diverse population. So I can be a child and play with my friends, but I can also sit down and talk for hours, literally, with these seniors. And if people were sick, I always was empathic about that and wanted to support and be there, make, you know, bake little things for them and go visit, have prayer with them. If you're a person who just prays for folks, I mean, I would pray if somebody, an actor or somebody, I heard they were in an accident, I would just pray for them. Mm. Well, I didn't have to know you. If I hear a news story, I would pray. So if people who are drawn to be prayerful and pray for people, whether they know them or not, whether they are like them or not, I think that that's the first cue. And then that people come to you. They see something in you that you can keep confidences, that you're not judgmental, and you can accept and hear a person's story and not necessarily agree with everything that they're doing, but to be able to hear them into speech and not be judgmental. Mm-hmm. And I think the being quiet, and I'm an introvert, really.
Yeah.
I think that's helpful. So if a person is quiet and a bookworm, or really, and because in reading books, the kinds of books I always read were like autobiographies and biographies. Hmm. Always attracted to the story, the person's story.
Yeah. Can you take just a minute or two and tell us about a couple of the different jobs you've had as a chaplain, mm-hmm. to kind of put flesh on this possibility for people?
Mm-hmm. I started out as a chaplain intern, so that's the first step generally that we would take to sort of see if you have the stomach for the work, because most of the time people don't call you as a chaplain to celebrate. You know, I got a few calls, come bless the baby kind of thing, mm-hmm. but most of the time is that trauma or crisis, and so the first unit is to help us know whether or not that's something that we can even do, and if is it a good fit. So it would be good to take one unit to just check that out. Then I took a residency, and I ended up doing 2 years of residency. The first one was just learning generalist. I was learning all of the different departments in the hospital, so I would be on call like 7 times a month, and at that time, we would be there 24 hours. And so just doing that work, and it just opened me up. And my mom was so concerned about me because she said, "You're my happy child. You're the child who wakes up smiling every day. This is going to depress you." But it didn't. It was fulfilling to be present with people in those times. So that first year, I just spent that kind of time getting to be in the ED all over the hospital. But the next year, I was assigned to the psych unit. And at that time, we had a full, at Princeton, had a full psych unit. So all kinds of experiences there. And so I specialized in working with psych patients and doing that work. When I left there, I went to UAB, position open as the trauma burns fellow. And so I was assigned to the trauma department, the emergency department, and burns. I had no idea if I would be able to be with burn patients. And even in the interview, they asked me, you know, what draws you to this? And I said, I need a job. I want to be a chaplain. So I will try. I'll do my best. And I fell in love with that work. And to the point that I would be with patients who would burn. And when they would do the debriefing that they have to do of their wounds, I would be in the room with them and sing with them and pray with them, and their blood pressure would go down. And so it became a thing that the doctors would ask, can you be present with our patients?
Let's get Cecilia in here.
And I noticed that worked when I would be in the room with them, and sometimes they would be in pain, and I would just pray or start singing with them. And so I was there, did that for a couple of years, and then became the trauma burns chaplain for UAB, and then moved into supervision.
Now you're one of the most significant leaders in our region when it comes to working with chaplains, and you're really good to Beeson students who are interested in chaplaincy, so thank you very much.
Yes, I love it. I'm the president of the ACPE, and it's amazing how those things have just happened. And I would say, too, it's so important for us to be authentically who we are, unapologetically Christian, but ACPE is not a Christian organization. Yeah. And a lot of people who go into chaplaincy or have heard about it hesitate because they think that we have to compromise. And that's not the case, because even when I was in my training to become an educator, I said, if what being authentically Christian, my theologians being chief, being Jesus and Dr. Martin Luther King, if that's going to keep me from being there, then God didn't want me there. So I don't want people to hesitate because they are Christian in their perspective and think that there's no room. There's plenty of room for us to do this ministry.
Let me ask you just one follow-up on discerning if chaplaincy is for you before we move to other topics. So I feel like my personality is similar to yours. I'm a bookworm. I lean more on the introverted side. I'm plenty compassionate, but sometimes I think I'm too sensitive for my own good. And when I imagine myself doing your job, I honestly wonder if I'm tough enough to do your job. I imagine myself being with sick kids and it really affecting me in a powerful way. How tough, or maybe that's the wrong word, how emotionally resilient do you need to be to thrive as a chaplain?
I don't know about how resilient, but you need good boundaries. I've worked at Children's, in fact, as well. And that is a hard assignment, to see babies suffering like that. But I have a therapeutic relationship. I enjoy my own family. I have my own friends. And one of the best pieces of advice I got, even as an intern, was I had a patient that I had gotten really attached to. She was basically in a coma. And I would go and be with her family even when I was supposed to be off the clock. And I charted it in my, you know, not knowing any better. I put it in the chart and the director saw it. And he said, "You will never be able to sustain that. So you need to, when you're off, you need to be off. You need to trust that God will send someone else, and maybe not just like you, but someone else to do the work." And so he taught me about boundaries. And so understanding that it's not my child, it's not me that's going through this, and being able to separate it. but also being authentically, if tears come, I don't have to work it up, but to just be present with them. So I think the therapeutic relationship and healthy boundaries and a good family life.
Yeah. All right. So I want to remind everybody you're our Alumna of the Year this year, which is a pretty big deal. In part because you're one of our favorite alums of all, in part because of the significance of your ministry in chaplaincy in our region and beyond, in part because you're just so good to Beeson Divinity students who are thinking maybe the Lord has chaplaincy ministry for them. Any word for people about the importance, at least in your story, maybe in the stories of others you've gotten to know over the years, of seminary training for chaplaincy ministry? What was the significance of Beeson Divinity School in kind of forming and preparing you to be a chaplain?
The thing that I love the most about Beeson was how the professors drew out things in me that I didn't even know were there. The confidence, I have story after story of different professors saying how I could integrate this into my life and how I'm in helping me to learn how to see how these stories fit in the current. And so I think the seminary training is, you know, it's what sets us apart. And to get the best kind of training, and I think Beeson is the best. And so I got great training knowing how to integrate those biblical stories, the biblical text, into everyday life, and to be able to use it to help me. It's what helped me to make it through the loss of my children, the loss of my husband, knowing that bad things happen and God in his sovereignty has allowed it, but God is hurting with me. Yeah. So I think that just having those kinds of professors, having professors that were just real and down to earth and smart as can be. And it was just such a goal. So that it brought that excellence that you get from the seminary life into the chaplaincy.
So is there, I imagine there's a diversity of routes that you can take to get into chaplaincy ministry. But, you know, as somebody who's been coaching, shepherding, training lots of chaplains over the years, in your experience, do you recommend one or two routes as the best? What is the best way to get yourself ready, maybe in school, to be a faithful, fruitful, effective hospital chaplain in particular?
I think to really take the studies seriously and develop that ability to be studious and always an active learner. And because even once you get into chaplaincy, you need to keep reading, you need to keep learning and keep growing, and that's a great start to that, because you're always having to think, always having to write papers. All of my chaplains have to write devotions. They have to, and I mean, and I don't want typos. I want it to be excellent.
Way to go, be strict.
Yes, and so having a seminary background, and then you know how to really use the scripture in ways that are helpful to our audience, because we got hurting people and scared people, and so there are certain kinds of devotions that need to be delivered. So I think a seminary, I think the MDiv is still the premier degree. I do.
Preach
it. Yeah. And because I've seen how many, all of our chaplains that are from Beeson, and almost all of my chaplains have gone to Beeson. And all of them have the MDiv, and they just stand out. I have a few that went to schools and put together, you know, the 72 hours. And there's a difference, and there's a learning curve. They're excellent, and they get excellent, but it takes more. I think we're more prepared with the MDiv.
Well, we sure are very proud of you here at Beeson Divinity School, and we thank you even for being willing to put up with all the things that the Alumnus of the Year, the Alumna of the Year in your case, does over the course of a year as the Alumna of the Year. Tell us just a little bit. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but it's pretty cool that you're now a trustee of Samford University. You're one of our bosses now. What's that like? What do you guys do? What do the trustees of Samford do?
Well, it's so exciting. One day I was riding by Samford, you know, one of my favorite places to look at. It's such a beautiful campus. And I told my husband, I want to be on the board one day.
Really?
I didn't even think it would even happen.
Yeah.
And like a couple of years later, Dr. Westmoreland called and invited me. We take seriously our students' education, the culture, the spirituality, and we're always, I happen to be on the student affairs committee, which is perfect for me because I like working with the students, knowing how we're helping to create diversity among our students. We're in an accreditation year at for my program, my CPE program. But in years past, I've come and been in the commons on the campus and hung out with students to get to know them, so that when we have our meetings, I can talk about what the students are saying and what the students are sharing with me. And so for my part, it's just to make sure that the different clubs that they bring on campus, we review those and review their constitutions and make sure this is in line with the mission of Samford. And we're particularly involved in all of the expansions that are happening. Dr. Taylor presents the information, his ideas and everything, and we're able to see it. And now we're seeing it come into fruition.
Oh, my. That's a big deal now.
It's huge, isn't
Listeners
it?
Listeners who haven't been to campus recently would be surprised.
Yes.
There's a big crane looming over Divinity Hall and all kinds of building going on.
It's amazing. And so just being involved in that, so for a place that I love so much.
Well, thank you for doing it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being such a wonderful minister of the gospel and alumna of the year for Beeson. We're about out of time. I like to end these interviews when we can by asking people like you who've been faithful and fruitful in ministry for a while now, after all these years walking with the Lord, I mean, since you were a little kid in your grandfather's church, can you testify to our listeners that the Lord's still teaching you things, you're still growing, he's still doing things in your life? What's going on these days in Dr. Cecilia Walker's life that we might conclude this podcast episode with it as a way of just encouraging our listeners to be faithful in their own walks with the Lord?
My favorite attribute of God is his faithfulness. I have a bracelet that I often wear that just says that he's faithful. And he surprises me all the time, opens doors, allows me opportunities to represent and speak. And most of the time, I and myself wouldn't have the courage, but he stands up in me and supports me and has brought me through so many things that I wouldn't have even been able to make it if God hadn't been with me. And so I just, the sky's the limit with God. And all I want to do is serve him and his people.
It's a wonderful way to conclude. The Lord is faithful. And so are faithful servants of the Lord like Dr. Cecilia Walker. Thank you, Cecilia, for being with us today. Listeners, this has been Dr. Cecilia Walker. I am proud to say that she's our 2024 Beeson Alumna of the Year. Her day job is to work as Executive Director of Chaplaincy and Clinical Pastoral Education for Brookwood Baptist Health. She's a wonderful encourager to lots of people in the Beeson family. We're delighted to commend her and her ministry to you. Listeners, we love you. We're praying for you. We ask you to pray for Beeson Divinity School and the ministry of Dr. Walker. And we say goodbye for now.
You've been listening to the Beeson Podcast, coming to you from the campus of Samford University. Our theme music is by Advent Birmingham. Our announcer is Mark Janelette. Our engineer is Rob Willis. Our producer is Neil Embry. And our show host is Doug Sweeney. For more episodes and to subscribe, visit beesondivinity.com/podcast. You can also find the Beeson Podcast on iTunes, YouTube, and Spotify.